Lately I've been through some testings and trials. Felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now, looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful.
I've battled giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar, the guilt of the past that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to a cross and I bear it no more, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful.
Yes, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for that good song tonight. My heart was blessed. Amen. Well, we're in Colossians chapter 3. You're going to be on the subject of thankfulness. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, had no idea they were going to sing that. In fact, I don't know. I've been missing out, I guess. That's the first time I think I've heard that song. And, but boy, that was a good one. So, it's good this morning, good tonight. Wonderful music. Thank you for all of you who help us with that. I appreciate it so very much. The cloak of thankfulness is what I want to speak on tonight. The cloak of thankfulness. Find Colossians 3 there, and we're in verse number 12. Colossians 3, and let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. Colossians 3, verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. So I want to speak on the cloak of thankfulness. Father, thank you for putting a song and a message together. Thank you for this season when our minds and hearts are drawn even more to this matter of being thankful. And Lord, it's been said tonight and prayed tonight already that we, Lord, should be year-round thankful. But I'm glad there's this attention given to this special time of year. And so tonight we pray that you'll bless us with your power and help in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. By the way, Alan Miller held the first lessons with the Vietnamese people this afternoon. And they're going to bring somebody back against another person next Sunday. I'm really praying that these English classes will lead to the salvation of these Vietnamese people. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. They are from Saigon. And it's just a remarkable to me that we would have, after growing up in the Vietnam War era, that being on the news every day and in the paper that I threw as a boy every day, it's just remarkable that we have the opportunity here to have a ministry maybe to Vietnamese-speaking people and from that part of the world. And so if you think about it, just ask the Lord to bless that meeting now. And it'll be a time, it'll be a process, folks, okay, with these people, but that's exciting. One of the first things we do in the morning is make a decision about the clothes we are going to wear. Obviously, our type of work or our schedule for the day determines to some degree what we're going to pull out of the closet, pull out of the dresser, and wear for the day. We put this on, we put that on, we put on clothes for a particular task or clothes for a particular day. Now, clothing for a Christian is not unimportant. Some would have you believe that it makes no difference at all what you wear, but it does, people, it does. Going over that with the Sunday school teachers and Abraham and the book of Romans and Abraham in the book of James, and Abraham was justified in the sight of God by his faith, but he was justified in the sight of men by his works, because men cannot see our heart. Men cannot see our heart, but God can. And man sees our works. And so, yeah, I'm not going to preach on that subject tonight, but it does matter. Now, Paul talked about putting on the new man in this chapter, Colossians 3. He also talked about it over in Ephesians chapter 4. They are companion passages of Scripture. And in these verses, Paul talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Simply, the old man is the man of sin that all of us are from birth. The new man is the man of salvation that all of us are from the second birth. And if you've never had the second birth, you are still living entirely with the old man. People have attempted to put on the characteristics of the new man without ever having been born again. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, that's very difficult. That's very frustrating to try to put on the characteristics of the new man without the new man residing in you, okay, being made a new man in Christ. And that doesn't work. Now, once we have been saved, we need to dress in the clothing, if you will, of the new man. And Paul lists some of those characteristics beginning in verse number 12. This is not clothing of the body so much as it is clothing of the heart, clothing of the spirit. Look with me beginning in verse number 12. And by the way, none of these have to do with the apparel of our bodies. Clothing matters, but I'll say again, it is true that some put on appropriate apparel. Listen carefully. Some put on appropriate apparel and never wear the clothing that Paul speaks about here. This is vitally important. Look at these characteristics. Beginning in verse number 12. Look at what he says here. He talks about mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. I told the Sunday school teacher, reminded them as they prepare for next week, thanksgiving and pride cannot exist in the same heart. Cannot exist, because the spirit of thanksgiving makes you humble. You realize you're not a self-made person. So spirit of thanksgiving and pride cannot dwell together. He says put on humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Look at verse 13, forbearance, forgiveness. Look at verse 14, charity. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the greatest of all, the bond of perfectness, the sum of completion, the entirety of maturity. And then look at the result in verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule. Peace will rule in our hearts if we put on the proper clothing of the new man. And I'm talking about the clothing of our heart. Peace will rule in our hearts. And he says in verse 15, to the which also ye are called in one body. You say, Pastor, what's he talking about there? Well, folks, remember that these first century churches were experiencing a completely new phenomena, if you will. The Jews and Gentiles were worshiping in the same assemblies together. After how many centuries of segregated worship, where the Gentiles were kept out in the court of the Gentiles, and the Jews were allowed closer to the holy place, if you will. And after that segregated worship for centuries, now the Jew and the Gentile and the rich and the poor and the masters and the servants were all coming together for fellowship. All coming together for worship, and this was brand new. This was so new to them. And so the potential for quarrelings and divisions and ugliness and bitterness and segregation, if you will, cliquishness, that was the potential for that was great. But the new man living in each born-again person was the same. The new man living in the born-again Jew was the same new man living in the born-again Gentile. The new man living in the born-again rich person was the same new man living in the born-again poor person. They were all together in that one assembly. And that new man living in all of them had the same potential for all of these characteristics. And by the way, you know, fundamentalism somehow, in some cases, seems to overlook some of these things. I'll tell you what, they are just as important as the apparel we put on our body, if not more so. And I believe in the right kind of apparel. But I want you to look at the end of verse number 15. So he talks about all of these things, and you know, to the which also you're called in one body. Hey, church at Colossae, all you born-again Jews, all you born-again Gentiles, all you born-again rich and poor, masters and servants, you're all called to these characteristics of the new man. Put them on and enjoy peace and love and division and not being divided, no segregation, being together. Then look what he says at the end of verse 15, and be ye thankful. Now, isn't it interesting? It's like a tag or an add-on. Don't forget to be thankful. You be thankful. It's just kind of that way. If we are not careful, we will forget to put on that characteristic of the new man. That's why, you know, yes, we should be thankful year round. But I am glad there is an occasion, as Brother Bragg, you know, was talking to the Lord in his prayer and thanking God for the president who by decree set this day of Thanksgiving aside. I'm glad there's this emphasis because I'll be the first to admit I need my attention drawn to it. You probably do too. We need our attention drawn to this matter of being thankful. It's no coincidence that peace and thankfulness are mentioned in the same sentence in verse number 15. The peace of God rule in your heart and be you thankful. Be you thankful. Peace rules and thanksgiving results. Peace rules and thanksgiving results. Folks, when there is ugly division and segregating and cliquishness and disunity in a church body, there is a spirit of unthankfulness as well. So as a church, we need to put on the proper clothing of the new man, the clothing of the heart, the clothing of the spirit. It's appropriate. It's acceptable and pleasing to God. And peace and thanksgiving will result. We are wearing the clothing of the old man. Results in a carnal and divided and powerless church. Wearing the clothing of the new man will result in a spiritual, unified, powerful church. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, hey, church at Colossae, you put on the characteristics of the new man that resides in you. Put on the cloak, and be sure you put on the cloak of thanksgiving. The cloak of thanksgiving. Now, that's the interpretation as best as I can explain it tonight from these verses. Let me just talk for a few minutes now about just this matter of the cloak of thankfulness. What are we thankful for? Well, I think, first of all, be thankful you're saved. Be thankful you're saved. Be thankful you got a new man. Amen. Man, aren't you thankful the grace of God has birthed a new man in you? I'm going to tell you what, brother, as hard as... I feel bad for my wife, as difficult as it has been for her these 38 plus years to live with this guy who has a new man. How would it have been for her without the new man? My goodness. I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad. I know you feel the same way. Hey, maybe your experience of salvation was as drastic as that man in Mark chapter 5 who was living in the tombs, amongst the tombs, and tearing off his clothes and cutting himself and full of devils, and he couldn't sit still and he couldn't be tamed and he's a wild man. Maybe your conversion was something that miraculous, something that drastic, if you will, where they came and they saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus Christ. That was a drastic conversion. Or maybe it was, quote unquote, as simple as Timothy, who from a child knew the Holy Scriptures and got saved. Or somewhere in between. No matter how it happened, whether it was drastic or if you want to call it simple, you are now a new man. And all the characteristics of the new man are within you. They're within me. And I just want to say tonight, be thankful for our salvation. Be grateful for your salvation. Saved from hopelessness to a blessed hope. Saved from being an alien to being a fellow citizen. Saved from being dead in trespasses and sins to being made alive unto God. Saved from the power of darkness to being translated into the kingdom of Christ. Saved from eternal punishment to eternal glory. Ask Brother Bragg how he's doing. I know what he's going to tell you. Saved forever. How you doing, Brother Bragg? Saved forever. Saved forever. As always is it. Rejoice in your salvation. Friend, find the time to say thank you to God for coming across that vast gulf that separated between you and Him and bringing salvation to you. Don't forget to thank me. Thankful for that. You remember when somebody helped you out of a real pickle? I mean, you were in a jam, in a real jam, and somebody came and helped you. Maybe it was physical, maybe it was financial, maybe it was just some form of encouragement. Maybe you needed some help with a car or, you know, something went something crazy, and somebody came and pulled you out of a real jam, out of a real pickle, and what did you say? What did I say to that person? I can't say thank you enough. You ever feel like that? Well, we ought to feel like that about our salvation. I can't say thank you enough. I can't say thank you enough. So we ought to be thankful for our salvation. Number two, let me say this tonight. We ought to be thankful for others' salvation. We ought to be thankful for others' salvation. You know, it is cause for much thankfulness when you ponder what could be for people sitting around you if they were not saved. Think of Harold Horman unsaved. Think of Dennis Hoffman unsaved. You're talking about coming unhinged, huh? Seriously. Think of it, you know, just look up and, you know, think of it, look up and down the row and just determine, oh man, I know what he'd be like or she'd be like. You know, but I am grateful for the people. I'm grateful for my salvation, but I'm grateful for your salvation. I'm grateful for his salvation. I'm grateful for the salvation of my wife. Grateful for the salvation of my children. I'm grateful for your salvation as our church family. And I know to some degree you have joy that results from being born again and having the new man. And people, listen, there are still many things to fix about all of us. Some people struggle with and battle with sins of the Spirit, and some people battle and struggle with sins of the flesh, and some people battle with both. There's a lot to fix about us. There is still much growth that should take place, but again, do we realize what could be in people's lives if they were not saved? What would it be like at your house if Jesus didn't live there with you? Have you visited? Have you knocked on any doors lately? Have you witnessed the behavior of your lost co-workers? Have you thought about the lifestyle of your lost extended family members? Boy, does salvation have a restraining influence in our lives. And I'm grateful that salvation has come not only to me, but to you as well. I think about the difference that salvation makes in the lives of these young people around here. I think about the difference that salvation makes in the lives of our teenagers. And how many teenagers are wandering tonight? Hopeless. Literally hopeless. Piercing their bodies. Coloring their hair and all kinds of things going on and marking their bodies with tattoos and giving their bodies in lasciviousness and living for the things of this world that don't bring one moment of eternal peace. Oh, they might provide a couple of moments of physical pleasure that are fleeting, here and gone. But you teenagers, God, I don't know if you understand, if you comprehend what it means to be saved, what that saved you from. I'm thankful. I am thankful that the bulk of our young men and young ladies grow up knowing how to behave with the opposite gender and how to conduct themselves and avoiding out of wedlock babies and avoiding this kind of life. I mean, a life that just results in wreck. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the difference that salvation makes in the lives of the young families here. I think about you sitting down with your little children and talking to them about a Bible story. What a difference that makes in a home. I'm thankful for my salvation, but I'm thankful for the salvation that you folks enjoy. I'm thankful that you look at some of you men and realize you got saved later in life and the change that God made in your life since you got saved. I love it. Rejoice. Be thankful that you're saved, but be thankful for others' salvation as well. You see, there is potential for much evil and wickedness and filthy living among this many people. But thank God, salvation has changed that. Salvation has changed that. So be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for others' salvation. Can I say number three tonight, putting on the cloak of thankfulness, be thankful for our surroundings. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you what I mean. Sometimes we get so accustomed to the norm, we forget to be grateful for what God has given us. Brother Bragg stood up here and gave a little brief testimony and said, they just got a new building recently, and I've been in that building, and I think you've remodeled, preacher, since I was there. And it was beautiful when I was there, and then it has to be more beautiful now. And this just happened to me this past Wednesday night. I usually try to get in here in the auditorium at about 20 after 6 on Wednesday night just to say hello to the people who start trickling in. And a lot of folks don't get here till 10 till 7 and 5 till 7 and 5 after 7 and 10 after 7. But anyway, I came in a little bit earlier than usual this past Wednesday night, so I was in here all by myself. The lights are all on. And I come up here and put my Bible on the table, put the prayer list on Brother Bragg's chair there for him. And then I usually walk up those steps over there to the sound booth and turn the sound system on, turn these lights on, just in preparation for church. I don't have to do that. I don't know. It's just something I've fallen in the habit of doing. I was walking up those stairs over there. Usually Mike Sharenda's up there taking a nap on the chairs up there. He comes early, stays in town. I was walking up this set of stairs over here, and I just happened to glance down at this auditorium. Man, all the books were in place, and all the things, it was all set up and so neat and had been vacuumed and cleaned and set, and all this beautiful oak and this beautiful oak railing up here. And boy, thankfulness flooded my heart. I thought back to that old building and that low ceiling. I had to be careful about getting excited because I'd, hit the precast concrete, and you don't punch a hole in precast concrete. You know, honestly, it was just right there. I looked across this and I thought about how many churches, good men, never get to enjoy a new auditorium. How beautiful. And this thing needs a facelift. It's only been painted once in 16 years, 17 years, and it's time for some new carpet. You see that now? We're trying to stretch it out every bit. It's kind of hard to invest some money when you're still paying off a mortgage, but it's going to have to be done. Maybe next year, I don't know. The carpet cleaners tell us it's pretty much on its last leg. Now these marks won't come out of the center aisle now, and it looks like inbounds and out of bounds, but I looked around here, and here's what I thought. I thought, God, thank you. It's a beautiful auditorium. Comfortable. padded pews to sit on. I'm not trying to make us the Philippines. I'm not trying to make us like people over in India. I'm not trying to make Americans like fourth world or third world countries. But there are places where God's people, with the new man in them as much as he is in you and me, who sit on benches with no backs. And they'll sit there for hours. And I watched them in the Philippines years ago walk out of the mountains down through the rice fields to sit on benches. And I'm not trying to make us Filipino. We're not. We're Americans. But I'm saying, folks, my goodness, we take so much for granted. So much for granted. This is a blessing. This is the goodness of God. We need to be mindful of that, reminded of it, and put on the cloak of thankfulness. Be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for the salvation of others. Be thankful for our surroundings. And I want to say this number four tonight. Be thankful for our services. Be thankful for our services. You know, people, listen very carefully. There is a difference in being unsatisfied with where we are as a church body and being thankful for what God has done. Does that make sense to y'all? You never want to grow satisfied with what we are doing. There needs to be more done. There needs to be more souls saved. There needs to be more families reached. There needs to be more teenagers come. And thank God, little by little, you just see, you know, the teenagers are out in Colt Adams. Goes up to this young man, he's a junior over at BBCHS. And he said, yes, I'll come. And he came this morning for the first time, was in the teen service and raised his hand for salvation. I finished a little bit early this morning. There was no time for an invitation over there, but Mick has an appointment to see him. And he said, I want to hear more about this matter of being saved. He's a junior at BBCHS. And we don't ever need to be satisfied with what we're doing for God. But at the same time, we got to be careful that we don't become unappreciative about what God is doing for us. We don't want to get complacent and settle into lethargy and passiveness for the work of God. But at the same time, we want to be thankful for God's presence and for God's blessings and for God's help in our services. You know, some people can only rejoice in the services that are over the top. I mean, those times when, you know, from the opening song, it's evident that, wow, God's here. And I mean, it's just right through the whole service, the special music, the fellowship, and then the preaching, God's anointing is on it, and we have a wonderful time, and God speaks to our hearts, and you leave going, phew. And we enjoy those kind of services when God gives them to us. But folks, not every service is like that. Just like you don't eat steak, mashed potatoes, and tossed salad every meal. Or whatever your favorite food is. But God gives us good services. Sometimes services, you know, we come and we sing, we pray, and we give, and we hear the Word of God, and we leave, and we fellowship a little bit, and it's not been spectacular, but it's been orderly, and it's been decent, and there's been fellowship, and there's been sweetness, and there's been handshakes, and there's been the sharing of Christian love. This morning service was not one of those electric services that just buzzes. But what a good, it's a good service. And I leave being thankful for that. Thank God. I may change all next week. But as of this moment, we don't have an ugly, divisive, bitter, ugly spirit that's ripping and segregating the congregation into little cliques. Some of you have been a part of that over the years. That would break my heart. And I'm not saying that everybody in this auditorium, you know, is in deep Christian love with the other person. There might be somebody here that doesn't speak to somebody else. And that grieves me, but I'll tell you what, when it's rampant, and this section and this section and this group, and there's no blessing of God. I remember one time when I was still at the boys' home at the Calvary Baptist there, and I was just newly saved and into fundamentalism like that, and boy, oh boy, it was just so real to me. It was just incredible. And with Pastor Strickland, and the youth pastor's name was Gary Spracker, and Gary was a good guy. And Gary came up to the, he came on Thanksgiving Day, 1975. That's what, 42 years ago? It was a cold morning in Tennessee. And there was a lady down in Atlanta, Georgia, by the name of Margie Ashby, and she and her husband John were members of Curtis Hudson's church in Decatur, Georgia. And on Thanksgiving, they would bring up a fully cooked Thanksgiving dinner for the boys' home. I mean, turkey, dressing, gravy. And they came up and they were preparing that. And then it was tradition that the boys, we always played football. When we played football at Shepherd's Lane, we played tackle football with no pads. And the ground was frozen. It's like falling on concrete. And Gary Spracker came up to play. And Mike Hagee, if you weren't on his team, you were on the losing team, because we played until Mike got ahead and then the game was over. That happened all the time. I was on a team that was doing very well one time, opposite his team, and we were kind of pasting them, and we were getting ready to kick off, and he hollered on the other end. He said, "I'll give $10 or $5, whatever he said, to anybody that breaks Terry's leg." That's what he said. He was mad. He was mad. In Christian love, I'm sure. Amen. So we were up there. Gary Spracker came up to play with us that day, the youth director. And we're playing tackle football. He was playing fullback, and they hand him the football, and he's running, and people are trying to tackle him, and he's like all good running backs. His feet don't stop until he's on the ground, so he's being grabbed, and then he twists to turn. And when he twisted to turn, somebody on defense was coming in to tackle him, and their foreheads met. And Gary's forehead went split. It was a mess. Well, we all got a kick out of that, but he had to leave and go get sutured up, stitched up on Thanksgiving Day. Don't forget that. And so we had a business meeting at the church. The pastor wanted to give Gary Spracker a minimal raise. And I'm telling you, the war was on. It was awful. I sat in over here, just newly saved. This guy is standing, "Oh, don't let me out of here, friend." This guy, "What do? You get a raise at your work?" Rah, 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 rah. And boy, I'm telling you, everybody left with an old ugly, you had just an ugly taste in your mouth. To the glory of God, for the 27 plus years since 1990, June of 19, I don't think we've ever had anything like that. That's amazing to me. We have men's meetings where we've hashed some things out. We had a men's meeting one time when I wanted to sell some property back here. And because we weren't using it, Don Oswardy said, "I don't think we should do that." He said, "Churches aren't in the business of selling property. They're in the business of buying property." And God spoke to my heart and said, "He's right." And we didn't. And we're just getting ready to start the school. And a few weeks later, it came out in the paper that there was some zoning ordinance that if you wanted to have a school, you had to have at least 8 acres. I don't know what these schools over here are doing on less than 8 acres. But it was just God. We had always agreed on everything, but we left that meeting with a sweet spirit. It amazes me, folks. And we need to be thankful for our services. I'm thankful to come together and to be able to sing. And this music that we've enjoyed today from the choir and this special music, my. And you folks that play these instruments on both sides of the platform and the ushers that help, and thank you. You know, we need to be thankful for our services. Thankful for our services. We need to be thankful for our salvation. We need to be thankful for others' salvation. We need to be thankful for our surroundings. We need to be thankful for our services. And can I say last of all tonight, above all, we need to be thankful for our Savior. His name is wonderful. And the reason His name is wonderful is because He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Had it not been for His coming to earth in a human body, taking our sins in His own body to that cross and dying there, folks, where would we be? We need to be thankful for Jesus. I've asked the McDonald young people to come and sing tonight. Come on up, folks, and get ready. I've asked them to come sing at the close of the service a song about our Savior. Merciful, wonderful Savior. I'm talking about the cloak of thankfulness tonight. I'm talking about the cloak of thankfulness tonight. You know what? I think what we'll do after this song, well, I don't know. We'll decide what we're going to do. See what the Spirit of God wants. The cloak of thankfulness. Be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for the salvation of others. Be thankful for our surroundings. Be thankful for our services. And be thankful for our Savior. All right, sing for us.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Your couple sitting out there tonight, that spouse beside of you, you've forgotten how big a part Jesus Christ played in all that. What a difference He makes. Your little children down the row from your teenage kids, don't forget what a difference He's made. He's a wonderful Savior. Put on the cloak of thankfulness. Put on the cloak of thankfulness. Be thankful for your salvation, other salvation. Thankful for our surroundings, our services, most of all. Be thankful for our Savior. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask them to sing during the invitation. The altar will be open. Father in heaven, we can't say thank you enough. May our hearts, Lord, be clothed with thankfulness for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, altars open. They sing. Give us an invitation.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are
And I'll ask this trio to sing one more time, and then we'll be dismissed tonight with a cloak of thankfulness. And folks, don't set it aside after Thursday's over. Let's wear it and be thankful for God's goodness to us. You listen now. They sing. We'll be done.
Lately I've been through some testings and trials, felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now, looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past, and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
I've battled giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to a cross and I bear it no more, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lion. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, I'm thankful.
Bless you. Don't eat too much turkey and ham. Enjoy it, the time. See you Tuesday night if you're able to make it, 7 o'clock. And I love you, church. I want us to love him. And I want us not to forget how good he's been. Amen. Be safe going home. Love you. Bye-bye. That's it.